This is a spiritual reading being given for Shafiq Dervishli on Friday the 10th of March 2023 in Victoria, Australia by John Rawson. We stand within the hall of memory. The book of the soul is given into our hands. And the book of the soul, Shafiq, is a metaphor. It is a record of the doings and experiences of the soul. Since the soul first came into incarnation many aeons ago, and the book is contained within a most beautiful cover. It's like an old book that you would find in a library somewhere, and the cover is something like tooled leather with little designs in it. But what is in there are three aspects of the cover that are significant. The first is that the cover has a colour, and the colour of the book is a deep green. It's quite rare. And the qualities of green then are part of the purpose, the original purpose that the soul had when it came into incarnation in the first instance. There was a reason why we, or there is a reason, there was a reason, why we first decided to come out of the spiritual worlds and descend into a physical body. And that reason is really different for every soul. But the reason or the drive, the need behind that descent stamps itself upon the soul forever after, so that if someone came into incarnation because they wanted to have sex, then there'll be sex in every life after that, and until that becomes transcended and transformed. But there are rare souls who are drawn into the world through higher emotions, if you like, through pity, compassion, and experience a need to come into incarnation, or they did, in order to assist others. And of course, once an incarnation, physical incarnation, the soul finds it's having quite a good time in physical body, so forgets why it came into incarnation in the first place. And yet, for life after life, that original reason is played out in each incarnation. Now, the book of the soul has this deep green, then you really came into incarnation out of a sense of compassion for other souls. That is, you looked down from the spiritual worlds into the physical world, the world of physical manifestation, and you saw that other souls whom you had been close to had become entrapped or enmired within the physical world, and so that they could no longer rise into the high spiritual realms, but were caught in the lower levels, and so the cycle of incarnation and reincarnation begins. So when you come into incarnation in the beginning out of a sense of compassion, then it also produces a sense of healing within that soul, so that in in different incarnations, we would probably see you as a physician, as a doctor, as someone attending to other souls. There is a second feature of the cover, which is that it has a symbol on it, the centre. And the symbol may well change slightly according to what you're experiencing within your life and what the soul wants to do within the life. But as I see it, it is a symbol of a building. It's very, it's like a very thin tower. Perhaps it's it's not a minaret, I think, but it's got almost something like an onion bulb at the top. It's very beautiful, but it's got a series of steps to walk up. And that indicates that the soul has a need within it to achieve perspective, because when you walk up something, that a tower that's very high and it's above everything else, what you can do is you can see much further and you can get a much better sense of the country. And people who have this sort of symbol often become leaders within the world, or their own country, their own culture, their own social, economic niche, because they have the rare ability to rise above the problems and the labyrinthine intricacies of the world that we live in, to rise above that and have a calmer, more peaceful, more knowing perspective. It gives them a sense of idealism. And so when they come back down from the tower, which they have to, we all have to live within the world, then they bring this new sense of perspective, a new sense of vision into the world. There is a third quality of the cover, and that is that your soul has a name. And the name, as I would perceive it at present, and again, the name will always be the same, but the way we can see it, we may only see a certain facet of the name. And what I perceive here is the name, the uniter, and it carries the connotation of the one who unites heaven and earth, but it also carries the connotation of someone who in their life will try and live a unifying life and be a unifying influence within the world, a healing influence. Now, with that, we shall open the book, and I want to emphasize that the three themes there, the color green, which represents compassion, the symbol, which represents the ability to gain perspective, and the name, the unifier or the uniter, that these are themes that will play out in many incarnations, usually most of them, and no doubt they play out in this present lifetime as well. We open the book to the current incarnation, and here the soul gives us permission, or yes, it portrays itself in ways that we can understand or connect with. And on the right-hand side, the right-hand page, the soul has drawn a picture of itself, and it draws a picture of itself in colour. And these are the colours of the aura. On the left-hand side, the soul has written a few little directions, instructions, if you like, about what it wants to achieve in this incarnation. So we'll come to that later. But let's look at the picture, and the aura is, for me, quite unusual. I don't see colours like this very often. The first colour is a green, quite a deep green, not a dark green, but a green with depth, which is subtly different. And the first colour is to do with the life energy of the person. We might call it the life body or the vital body. It's got lots of names in different traditions, but let's just say it's to do with the expression of life energy. And the green is interesting because in the first instance, it's not the natural colour of this particular body. This particular body would rather be express a red energy, reddish energy, or perhaps a rose energy, because these are colours that indicate greater energy. So the fact that the first colour is a dark green can indicate that the person may struggle at times in life with their physical health and have to work harder through perhaps through diet or perhaps through physical routine to keep the energy levels up. But on the other hand, it gives opportunities. For example, there's a greater opportunity to express compassion towards other souls, and so sometimes people with this colour go into healing fields. They become doctors or physicians, therapists, as I've indicated. The second colour is a light yellow brown. Now the second colour represents the, and the colours that come after, so they represent more the level of desire, emotion, reaction, and in some traditions this is called the desire body, but we won't worry about the terms. But what it indicates is if you have the yellow-brown there, it's a light yellow-brown, that's actually quite a good colour because it indicates someone who can grapple with the world, with the physical world, that's the brown aspect, and and produce in a physical and material way. And the light yellow, or the yellow within that colour, tells us that here is someone who can think and reason. But because the first colour is green, it's not a constrictive or orthodox sense of reason, if I can put it like that. Green is quite a rebellious colour, by the way, and often indicates that the person will break away from their traditional roots, or leave their family, leave their home, leave their place of birth. There is a restlessness in that, and sometimes that restlessness comes out in wanting to move around or needing to move around in life. Sometimes it just comes down to wanting to rearrange the furniture or rearrange the garden. But when you combine that with the light yellow-brown, then the yellow-brown contains and firms the life. And so when you have this combination, it indicates a person who can be quite ambitious, and that if they take something on, they have the ability to focus until they bring it into reality. And sometimes we see people like this doing well in business, politics, writing, journalism, but all the time there's a push to make change. So if you're a businessman, business person, your business would be about change, perhaps to do with travel or moving around or importing and exporting things. If it's to do with politics or social, the social world, then you become a person who desires to initiate change in the world around you. And if it comes out in terms of writing, for example, then you would be someone who'd be very good at writing according to purpose. Not really a novelist, although you might be very poetic. Mind you, you're a Pisces, aren't you? So of course you're going to be poetic and insightful and very spiritual. That's a given as Pisces. But here it indicates that one would write also for self-expression and to experience perhaps deep spiritual and philosophical inner levels. Round the outside of the second colour is a third colour, which is quite firm, and that's light blue, which is interesting because it's a very spiritual colour and indicates that within your life, as you grow older, that there is a growing closer and closer to the world of spirit. The light blue, when it functions, tends to make us live, I won't say in the realms of fantasy, but tends us to encourage our imaginative levels. And sometimes it creates a sense of drama as well. This person can tell stories or could give a performance, although without the red, so it'd probably be very shy as well. There's a huge shyness in this individual, and they tend to cover themselves and shield themselves and mask themselves against perception of others. So also capable of playing a role, not necessarily on the stage, but definitely within life. The colour from the shoulders, greens, lighter greens in the first colour, but shot through with dark greens. And the shoulder colour indicates what lifts us up in life. They are, so to speak, our wings, or our spiritual wings. And the greens here indicate again someone who is lifted up by a sense of compassion and empathy. And indicates that within this incarnation you should be a healer. And I don't necessarily mean by that you get a medical doctorate and sit in a room and advise people on their illnesses all day. What I mean is that in the larger sense, you become a healer. A doctor may be a doctor, but may not be a healer. They might be more like a mechanic. But you have a strong healing emanation. And it's interesting that around the hands there are bursts of red, which usually comes when a person uses their hands for something, sometimes for healing others, sometimes that they're people who spend a lot of time at a computer, or 20 years ago I would have said a typewriter, and do a lot of typing or a lot of work with their hands. Within the head, light yellow. Indicating, because yellow is the energy of the mind, indicating again strong mental energies, strong thinking. But it's tinged with light rose, which is really interesting, because light rose is sensitive, artistic, almost psychic, imaginative, which would lend a sense of vision to the thinking and the ability to gain perspective. At present, you're in the middle of a cycle of I don't want to say conflict, but it's a cycle where the old rises up and you have to confront it and come to an understanding. So for the next 2 to 3 years, perhaps a bit longer, you're going through a phase where you will recreate a new identity. And this can be quite a struggle. At the moment, for the last couple of years, it's as though you've been releasing from the past. Releasing, letting go. The old life frameworks are dissolving. And when we try and hang on to that, sometimes it's old relationships or occupations or work situations or living situations. Whatever we try and hang on to tends to dissolve through our fingers, until we come to a point, which is not going to happen to you, I think, for another couple of years, probably about 2025, when that process of dissolution reaches a final stage, and then the next few years are about identity building. But in the meantime, it's as though you're having to balance, balance is the wrong word because it sounds very peaceful, but this is not really a peaceful process. This is inner energies in conflict with one another. And the conflict is between wanting to make changes, wanting to achieve ideals, wanting to be an individual, wanting to express who you really are, and what opposes that is what you have been, what life has created, or what you've created in life up till now. And sometimes there's a real argument between the old parental structure, the home environment, and this youthful energy that's entering in and says, oh, I can do anything I want. And going with this is a developmental energy that is making you look back again and making you assess very clearly and objectively who you've become and what you have achieved in life. And it's good because it's like a retrospective of life. And what decisions you make in the next 2 to 3 years, they will be what pushes your life forwards. It may well be that you want to move, that you want to pick up your life and go somewhere else. And it's also that the changes that are coming are around relationships, partnerships, especially business partnerships or work partnerships with other people, with relationships with groups or associations or networking entities. So that there's a lot of change that's in the wind, and at present you are caught in the middle of that. So this is a period of reassessment within life, and a great time to reassess, by the way. Great time to set goals, or at least to review goals. And as I've said, in a couple of years, there's going to be a much greater forward impetus within life. Let's return to the first colour, and there are other colours that I haven't mentioned yet, which perhaps I should. I haven't mentioned the what we call the vortex at the top of the head, which is orange. And orange is the colour of individuality, and that indicates a strong new energy coming into the person, and new ways of looking at things, new outlooks, new philosophies of life, new understandings. It's a really thinking energy, but it also carries with it an energy where you want to make change within yourself. The cosmic colours as we see them, and these are the influencing colours, are not really part of the aura, but they are lent, so to speak, from the spiritual worlds to assist us. And above the head, light blue. And below the feet, a sort of a reddish orange colour. And they reflect some of the changes that I've been talking to you about. The blues indicate reassessment, reflection, looking at boundaries, and the reds underneath the feet indicate a drive to move forwards. And yet you may find that change doesn't happen as soon as you would like it to, but it will happen. Give it a couple of years. So we will return to the first colour, the deep green. And each of the colours contains within itself, so to speak, different incarnations. That the way we express ourselves in one incarnation becomes part of the soul, and the soul reflects that as part of through the energies it sends into the aura. The deep green. That's a really interesting colour. And here we have an incarnation in the 18th century. You are in a male body, a turban on your head, a black beard, moustache, dressed in Arabic clothes, in, I think, Iran or Persia. Persia then. And as I see, you've got a big book underneath your arm, which I presume is the Quran. And you're going off, as I see you, to teach, to you have a group of students there. And in that incarnation, you are a spiritual teacher. You're a Sufi, in the Sufi tradition. You were very outspoken, and perhaps my history is not as good as it should be because I can't imagine this. But in the life that I see, in your outspokenness, you made lots of. A number of powerful enemies, because you were very honest in what you said, and you didn't spare people the edge of your tongue when you thought they were wrong, or thought they were hypocritical, or thought they were fraudulent. Public servants, you would you were merciless, and so your enemies had you thrown in jail on a trumped up charge. Yes, that was not very pleasant, because you were stripped of your status, your spiritual status, or your religious status. Couldn't strip you of your spiritual status. And you were flogged. You can see the blood running down your back. And tortured. And then you were exiled. They didn't kill you because they were afraid of rebellion, but they exiled you. And in that incarnation, you were very black and white. You saw the wrongness, the lies within the system, the hypocrisy, and you spoke out fervently and vehemently, strongly, against the system. And the system did what systems do. It punished you for it. Now, in this incarnation, that sense of right and wrong within you is still very strong. And there's a strong spiritual element, although I don't think that you become a religious figure again in this incarnation. You've done that once and that didn't turn out very well. But what you would probably want to do is you would want to express this sense of right and wrong within the framework, the social framework that you find yourself. And you might do this, for example, by through the law, because you were punished by the law, and now you would be able to use the law to your advantage. You'd be able to argue for people. You'd be able to put cases for other people. You could work with human rights, for example. Or you could work, I don't see you working in the situation where you become an active politician, not where you are right now, but that may change. Because I think that the energies of the soul are promoting change within your life and are going to create an opportunity in a couple of years' time where you will express your gifts on probably a much larger stage. Perhaps you'll work for United Nations or for an international organization of some kind. And I could imagine you being based in Europe, for example, and yet traveling a lot. Another incarnation here. There's several incarnations, but I'll try and unwrap them one at a time. The first is about 1,000 years BC in Egypt, again in a male body, and here you write. And I see you writing instructions on scrolls, and the scroll I see you writing on is actually in leather. So I don't know how you write on leather, but you're doing it. You're writing in hieroglyphic, demotic script. I'm not quite sure. And what I see is that you're writing something very functional. You write a lot of instructions to the different temples on how to store goods, and especially how to store grains, how to store the wheat and the other grains that were being harvested. You sort of have a job like as we might call it today, logistics, that you authorize shipments to come in from one place, and then you distribute them to the different nomes, the different areas of Egypt. So again, in this incarnation, there is a connection there with distribution and making change and making directions for people, particularly writing. So it gives the ability to write with clarity and to organize your thoughts so that communications with others can be concise and comprehensible. Now there is a very interesting incarnation that is about 2,000 years before that, so it's about 3,000 BC. And again in Egypt we see you in the temple there. Again it's a priestly role. And the temple is to do with healing, and many people from all over the area would be brought for healing, and particularly for what one might call now mental problems. And you would direct teams of healers, and the healing was less about physical treatment, not so much working on the physical body, but working on the soul levels through the senses, so that it worked through massage, it worked through sound, it worked through the sense of smell, aroma, and through rubbing the body with different oils. And you would direct proceedings. You had a bell that you would ring to signal when one team should commence or leave off and the next team commence. So you were organizing teams there, as you were. And these people, how can I put it? They had, it was, they were as though they were emptied of soul. They had functioning physical body, but very limited mental function. And it was as though the soul was absent, and your role was to direct the teams of those who would bring the soul into connection with the physical body. And that would happen quite quickly, within a few days or a week at the most, that you were able to return the soul to the body. And the closest comparison I would have today is that it's like psychotherapy, where the therapist is really interacting with the soul of the person in front of them. And perhaps in this sort of therapy, when it really happens, much of the healing comes on the unconscious level and is not really due to a particular technique. So you would have, again, as I've emphasized at different points, the ability still to heal others, and they just need to be in your presence sometimes, and that will make them they may go away and feel, oh, that problem wasn't so bad after all. I can see my way through to what I need to do in my life next. And this is would be a really great gift. The second colour of the aura, the yellow, light yellow brown. incarnation here in Europe, I think in Sweden, in probably the 17th century, so that's the 1600s. And again, in a male body, associated here with mining. You were sort of a scholar. Again, you wrote, and you were like a minister in the crown, that your job was to inspect mines in different parts of the country. So you would go in and make sure that conditions were okay, and that the king was getting his fair amount of gold or silver or iron or whatever it might be out of the mine. So you acted in two ways there. You acted to bring money into the economy, but you also checked on the condition of the miners, because it was uneconomic if the conditions were so bad that the miners died or rioted. They were Swedes. They were quite stubborn and quite capable of declaring when they were happy or unhappy with conditions, indicates that in this incarnation again you would do well in a management position, and especially where you are checking on different teams that are working within the organization. The light blue Wow, this is an interesting incarnation here in a female body in the 19th century in France, I think. This was an incarnation where you were in a convent, Sister Ingrid. Well, that's an interesting thing. I didn't think there were any that French, that Ingrid was a very French name, but that's what it was. And had a very interesting incarnation in some ways, because although the rules in the convent were quite lax, and some of the nuns used to sneak out to have sex with the monks from a nearby monastery, you're in that incarnation, you were attracted to women, so you had affairs very discreetly with other women in the convent. It wasn't so good, because nothing wrong with the sex, but it wasn't so good because you were on duty. You were supposed to be on duty, on watch, when fire broke out in the orphanage nearby, and you were too late getting there so that the fire couldn't be stopped, and so you suffered on your conscience the suffering and the deaths of people from that fire. And so that would mean in this incarnation that you might not have children, for example. But that you might feel a very heavy sense of responsibility in this life. And that the heaviness coming from that traumatic experience, even though it's hundreds of years ago, is enough to make you feel very guilty if you felt you let down other people or didn't do what you were supposed to do. And it drives you to get things right, to fulfill your obligations completely. And when you see suffering around you, that really hurts, that penetrates, and you find that very difficult to cope with. But it's interesting that there is a really good thing from that life too, and that is where you met your wife in this incarnation, who is of course also Ingrid, and it indicates that the two of you will work together in different ways, particularly in the next part of your lives, and that the skills that you have developed, particularly on practical levels, they will find a much wider canvas to represent themselves on. Greater opportunities coming up, as I've said, in about 2 or 3 years' time. Melody's reminded me that I haven't given the symbol of the over-self yet. And the over-self is a symbol. There are a number of symbols, but I'll start with the symbol of the over-self. The over-self is sort of a representation of the real self. There are many names for it in different traditions: the I am, the Atman, the divine self, whatever you want to call it. But the real self is not perceptible to spiritual vision because it resides in the Holy of Holies. No one else can make contact with this part of you because that would violate who you are. Not even God can enter into that sanctum. But it does provide us with a picture, if you like, of where it thinks the life should go. So, as I see it at the moment, the over-self hovers about 4 inches above the top of the head, and it shows you looking upwards at a disc that's rotating and wobbling as it rotates. And that represents the life or the energies, the spiritual energies that are operating within the life at present. Come back to that. The darker green is very interesting. The dark green wings I'm talking about, the darker green or the greens from the shoulders. Yes, there's an incarnation here which where I see you in Greece about 400 BC, again in a male body. This is an interesting life because you were very musical in that incarnation. I haven't mentioned it before, but green is also associated with music, and particularly with using the voice. The voice can be very healing. And this incarnation, you played A strange looking instrument. It's like a double flute, a double oboe. I think it had a reed. And you're very good on that. And you also you composed music, you sang, and you directed a chorus. And the chorus, it was not like a choir, it was the group of people who stood at the side of the stage in a dramatic production and sang or chanted a commentary on the action, so that the protagonists are on stage and the action happens on stage, and this person does that to that person, and they have the dialogue. And every so often, when something happens that's critical, the chorus comments on it, and commented on it in a sort of a strange sing-songy way. Now, what I notice there that you might relate to is, first of all, have music in your life. Always have music in some way, shape, size, or form. If you can play an instrument, particularly a wind instrument like a flute or an oboe or something like that, use the voice if you can. Sing. Depends whether that's encouraged within your particular environment. But it also means, because you were director, it also means that you could direct groups of people and help them to become more expressive and to produce something from themselves that is a commentary, an understanding, a reflection on what's going on in their life. Within the head, the light rose, I've already indicated, combined with the yellow, it gives a sense of fantasy, a sense of illusion, the ability to dream. And you're one of those people, few souls, who can convert their dreams into reality. So be careful what you dream, because it might just come about. There are other symbols within the aura. On the left-hand side is a black sheep. That's an interesting symbol. And the symbols in the aura are they're a pictorial representation of energies within the aura, within the soul. The black sheep says that you may have felt that you couldn't be part of your family or of a culture or of an organization or of a nation, something like that. It means that you felt on the outside. In English, we have the expression a square peg in a round hole. Or, as someone else put it, a stranger in a strange land. It's as though you didn't feel that you belonged. And that brings us to the picture in the center, which is of an old shepherd, old-fashioned shepherd, biblical shepherd, leading a flock of sheep. And that indicates that the way forward for you is to be a leader and to assist people to go from one place to another, to take them to safer pastures, if you like. And the future, I can see you as a fireman, a fire jacket, and you're holding a hydrant and you're spraying foam out of it. Now, don't take that very literally. What that indicates is that in years to come, you'll have a role where you are putting out fires, metaphorically speaking. I don't think it's physically, but metaphorically speaking. And your gifts for healing and unification will be called on to calm the passion and the angers amongst between people, within people, and between groups of people. The soul on the left hand side has a little message for us, and it comes, as I see it, in a little verse, and the title is The Unifier. The Unifier, so to speak. Yeah, that'll do, The Unifier. And the first line, things fall apart, the center cannot hold. And the next line, dread anarchy is loosed. Upon the world. The next line. Tension creates opposite. Balance brings unity. Unity is harmony. That is full of meaning. Too much to unpack in the short time that we have here, but basically it says that your life starts. The first two lines about chaos. Anarchy, things breaking apart, leaving, if you like. Then the next line represents, I think, where you've come to in your life. That is, you are holding opposites within yourself. And the opposites are to do with staying still, being conservative, staying within boundaries, and the opposites are expressing individuality, breaking through boundaries, and moving to the new. And at present, this you have this state of dynamic tension within you, going up and down like a seesaw. And the last lines explain that what will happen for you, your task, so to speak, your purpose in the next few years, is to bring these opposites together. You can't pick one, you can't pick the other, and you can't have them sitting on a seesaw that doesn't move. Seesaws always have to move. But what you can do is you can bring them closer and closer together until you contain them in something like a circle, and it's like a yin-yang, a circle, that they are opposites, but they each contain something of the other within them. And that's what you are going to be asked to do. Not to throw out the old for the new, not to abandon the new for the old, but to bring them together, create a measured coexistence and harmony within self. And that may take many, many years. But that would be a wonderful purpose within life. The symbol of the over-self, which floats above the head, shows you looking up at a disc. It's like a golden disc with white pearls on it, and it's suspended in midair. It's going, rotating slowly and wobbling slightly as it goes, and you're fascinated by this. You're thinking, where's this going? Where's this going? And it's almost hypnotic that you can't move away, but you're fascinated by what you see in front of you. Now, that is, there's another aspect to the picture, and that is that in the distance is a little village, a little town, and there's a rainbow over its head. And what the picture indicates is that at present you're focused on something that's not really quite stable, but it's staying there, almost hypnotized by it. Can't draw your eyes away from it. But when you do, you will discover that there is something quite different, something quite new, something that's already established, but which needs your vision and your assistance. And the rainbow is an old symbol which in the Bible represents the promise of God to his people that he will never again bring death and destruction through flood upon the earth. And it's as though in your future you can be the person, the individual that reminds others that there is always hope, that their life is not just black and white, but it's full of colour. You can be the conscience of the world. You can be the one who brings healing within other souls. And in the end, you can again be the uniter, the unifier. And if you can manage that, and this should unfold in the next 10 years, then that's a mighty destiny. So shall it be.